It's New Year's Day, so it's time to make some resolutions for 2020. We'll talk about what we want to change, how we hope to improve our lives, and what we plan to do. We'll also check in on last year's resolutions just to keep ourselves honest.
We'll also make some predictions for the new year, and we'll undertake the often painful job of seeing whether we got anything right 12 months ago when we did the exact same thing. I'm Stephen Thompson.
And I'm Linda Holmes. It's resolutions and predictions time once again on Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR, so don't go away.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Google Fi, a phone plan by Google. Switch to Google Fi and get data abroad for no extra charges, so you never have to worry about calling up your provider to let them know you'll be traveling. Google Fi is made with features that people actually want, like three networks included in one, which lets you tap into multiple networks for the best signal nearby. Learn more at fi.google.com.
Welcome back. You just met NPR Music Steve and Thompson. Also with us is Glenn Weldon of the NPR Arts Desk. Hi, Glenn.
Hey, Linda.
And in our fourth chair today, back for another go-round, been doing this with us for years, we welcome back writer Kat Chow, formerly of NPR's Code Switch team. Welcome back, Kat.
Hey, thank you.
We're so happy to see you. It's so good of you to come back over and over for this particularly often agonizing show.
My pleasure.
We're going to get right into our resolutions. And the first thing we have to do, Glenn, I'm going to go to your resolution from last year.
Okay.
And we're going to listen back to what it was that you vowed to do this time last year.
If it's me and I make a decision that I'm going to consume something, I tend to follow through with one exception, video games. I abandon video games all the damn time. I'm not just talking about getting to 100% completion where you get every collectible. I'm just talking about finishing the story.
Right.
But on those occasions when I do make it through, it is tremendously satisfying. Mm-hmm. It's a rush when you see the credits come up. And you know, it's like anything in life. Writing is not fun, but having written is great.
Yep.
So I remember getting through a game called Ninja Gaiden 2, I think it was, which had all these terrible, for me, perilously difficult boss battles. But when you do finally beat that boss, I imagine this is what heroin is. That's that feeling. So I am no longer going to abandon video games in the middle. I'm going to see them all through. That's my resolution. Huh. Well, let's put this NA, not applicable, because I just didn't really play a lot of games this year for a host of reasons. One of them, we've been out of the apartment while it was getting renovated, so we were living at different places. Also, you know, my husband was away for work, like 1,000 miles away, and that's when I burned through games. And now that he's back, it's not my number one priority. You know, he's my
your
number
arms.
One priority.
Your arms are your number one priority.
Well, let's see. This is good. Put a pin in that. We're coming back to that. So I still haven't finished Breath of the Wild. I still haven't finished Red Dead Redemption 2, because games are too damn big nowadays. Can we just be?
but you finished Firewatch.
I did finish, but that was a long time ago.
A long time ago. That's one that I'm currently working on.
See, that's the kind of thing I should focus on, like mobile games. Like, I'm going to get my hand on that Goose Game.
Yeah, I was going to say, you could probably finish Untitled Goose Game.
Yeah. I'm not going to be able to resist getting the new Star Wars game, Fallen Order. Came highly recommended over Thanksgiving by my nephews, who I trust. Reviews are saying it's very, very difficult, and the boss battles are very, very hard. Game designers, can we just stop with the boss battles? It's just memorizing patterns. That's right. All it is. That's the most terrible thing about games. Inventory management, second most terrible thing. But I'm going to do it, and I'm going to beat it this year.
All right.
You got this.
My thing.
All right. Well, what is your new resolution?
Okay. Well, I have a personal, I don't know if this is going to qualify, personal fitness resolution.
Sure.
I am going to get at least one ab. they don't necessarily have
Does
to be mine.
Does it matter, like, which ab?
Yeah, that's right. look, yours. I have never, I am 51 hell damn ass years old. Never had an ab. Not a one. Well, one. One big one. But, you know, even when I was swimming competitively, you know, Weldon men just carry their weight around their midsection. It's just what we do. I couldn't figure out why I was not losing the spare tire, even when I was really, really active. And then I went to a Weldon family get together and I was like, oh, here it is. Genetic destiny.
But unfortunately, it just gets easier as you get
see,
older.
See, this is the thing. This is why I'm doing it this year, as a matter of fact. Because if I don't do it now, my metabolism is not getting any faster. So I am going to push through this thing. And actually, that's my commitment over the course of this year. Now, it's going to require some sacrifice, even more sacrifice than I have been making. Because I, you know, I enjoy the occasional post-prandial tipple.
I like...
of an evening of dry sherry, perhaps. And that's going to have to, a lot of that's going to have to go away because that's so if that doesn't qualify, my other quick resolution is that I will start up the D&D campaign here at NPR, which I've been promising to do, even if that means I have to DM it, which I don't want to do because I know I'm a lousy DM because all I want is for my players to love me. So I just keep, when I was a kid, I got a lot of popular kids at school. They came over to my house. We played D&D and I just kept throwing super powerful magical items at them that broke the game. I mean, at one point they killed Lolth, Queen of the Demon-Wed Pits. They killed a spider god, an unkillable spider god, which, you know, you're just not supposed to be able to do. The game is written so you cannot kill her, and I had them kill her and get lots and lots and lots of loot.
You ridged the game with your love.
I did. I just want to be loved. So, both of those things, abs and DM, my two passions.
All right. Stephen Thompson, resolution time. You are up. First, we're going to listen to what you resolved last year.
All right.
I resolve to go out more and take in as much pop culture as possible with other people. Remember when we used to go to the movies together?
I do remember that.
I used to take in a lot of this stuff kind of in collaboration with other people and then talk about it afterward instead of slinking off to press screenings and then disappearing or watching screeners in my house or on my laptop. I want to do things with other people. Now, quantifiable? You want quantifiable? I will give you one quantifiable metric by which I will judge whether this New Year's resolution was a success. In 2019, I will go to the opera.
Woo!
Woo!
Win column!
You can't see me holding up my hands as if to signify that I have just scored a touchdown or that someone has just scored a touchdown. We went to the opera.
We went
to the opera as a team, uh-huh. In part because I said on this show, in 2019, I'm going to go to the opera.
Yeah, yeah.
So in 2020, I resolved to acquire some expensive jewels.
No, we did. We went to the opera.
Yes.
We saw Rigoletto at the Metropolitan Opera in New York City, and you can find that episode in the feed. We did a whole show about it with our friend Trey Graham, our dear, dear opera-loving friend Trey. You've been such a smashing success in your past one. What is your next one?
One thing that I also resolved to do in 2019 that I didn't do as much was take in a lot of pop culture with other people. And the one area where I've started to dip my toe in and have a tiny bit of success is going to concerts with my 15-year-old daughter.
Mm-hmm, nice.
She has suddenly had a huge musical awakening where she is in love with specifically the music that I listened to in college. She loves Green Day. She loves Nirvana. And so we've started to like to take her to a couple of concerts. We took her to a Slater Kinney show. We took her to a Dessa show. In 2020, I resolved to take my daughter to at least one concert a month for the entire year. Because it is such an opportunity to enjoy these things together. Now, one way, for example, that we enjoyed Sleater-Kinney together was we got to a point at the venue where we said, okay, the show's about to begin. She handed me her phone and disappeared for 90 minutes. And when the show was over and everybody was filing out of the venue, she strolled back like nothing had happened. So
I don't understand the part where she gave you her phone.
Yeah.
So I couldn't call her or track her down in any way.
Huh. Holy moly.
Yeah. Well, one other resolution for 2020, I intend to partake of what I am calling Silent Social Media Saturdays. It doesn't necessarily have to be Saturday, but one day every week, I will not only not post on social media, which I take days off from that all the time, but I will not read social media for at least one day every week in 2020. In a year in which a lot of people are going to be doing a lot of things on social media, I'm trying to check out of it as much as I can.
You are stronger than I am.
I hear you. I've been pulling back some from Twitter myself, so I hear that.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
It's a good thing to do.
Yeah, I think it is too. All right, Stephen. Good job. I'm watching you. all right, Kat Chow, let us revisit your resolution from last year.
This year in 2019, I want to watch every film or short that Sandra Oh is in.
Oh, nice. Great.
Yeah.
A good project.
And I don't want to have to watch Grey's Anatomy.
A lot of good stuff.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
No, hold on.
That's just too much. Then I won't do anything else.
Okay. You know what you should do? I'll tell you what you should do.
Yeah.
We will have people submit the 10 Grey's Anatomy episodes.
Ooh, yes.
Featuring her.
Yes.
That you must see in order to understand what she has done on Grey's Anatomy, because she was wonderful on Grey's Anatomy.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll ask people to tweet us at PCHH and tell us the 10 Christina Yang episodes.
I would love that.
Of Grey's Anatomy that you need to see. Because I agree, 15 or 16 seasons is a lot of
Grey's
Anatomy.
That's a lot of Grey's Anatomy.
And you don't only have to watch until she left, but still, at the same time. But we will get people to submit some episodes for you to watch,
good,
and we'll make
good.
You a list.
I'm excited. So, I thought that this was going to be a resolution that I would absolutely destroy it. You know, because, like, we had that Michael B. Jordan year where I watched every single episode of Parenthood.
Yeah, you did.
I feel like I really went in, and I'm such a fan of Sandra Oh because I love her in everything that I've seen previously before starting this resolution. And this year, I just didn't really make the time to do it besides Killing Eve. I did rewatch the movie Meditation Park that she was in, directed by Mina Shum. And I don't know, I just couldn't really get into it. I think partially because I've been working on this book, and she sort of looks like my mom. And so there's this uncanniness there that really kind of makes me pause in my tracks or stop in my tracks. But maybe 2020 will be the year of Sandra Oh again. I don't know. We'll see.
That seems reasonable.
Yeah, I think
so. You can give it another try.
Did you knock out any Grey's Anatomy episodes at all?
No, I didn't.
All right. Do you have a fresh resolution for 2020?
I do. Okay. So growing up, I did not really speak Cantonese or Mandarin or any version of Chinese with my family. And that has always been something that I have wanted to try to address by, you know, taking more Chinese classes. I want to watch more movies directed by Hong Kong or Cantonese directors where it's in Cantonese with subtitles in English, because I think that that could be a really good way just to absorb more of the language, and especially rom-coms or, you know, some genre that is pretty easy to understand where, you know, maybe there is a little bit of a plot that is easier to digest with fewer characters. So if anybody has any suggestions for that, please tweet at me. I would love to start doing that.
Cool.
Excellent. So, well, gee, that's everybody's resolution, right?
No, it's not.
All right, let's hear mine from last year. I have a couple of resolutions that are related to ones I've made in the past. I want to continue to expand the diversity of the stuff that I watch and read. Specifically, I'm trying to make sure it's inclusive of Native people and people with disabilities. I think those are both populations that I have sometimes missed in my efforts to broaden. But my big resolution that I would name, I was trying to figure out whether I could decide to go a year without Grizzly Murders, any Grizzly Murders. I think because of
you're talking about in popular culture.
Yes, exactly. I think because of the demands of my job, I can't actually commit to not watching any Grizzly Murders. I am going to commit to really selecting against grisly and bleak things because I don't think it's good for me when I have the choice in my own life. I'm going to try to seek out books and films that have other kinds of drama besides bleakness and misery that comes from violence and the mistreatment of people because I'm really tired. So yeah, in 2019, watch and read about fewer grisly murders. That is the goal. You know, I think I did this accidentally. I don't know that I remembered that I specifically had a resolution about this, but when I look back at the things that I really loved in 2019, I do think that I largely kept out of the business of grisly murder watching as much as possible. There were exceptions when I had to see things for work. So I think I did this to some degree. I will say I particularly enjoyed following some Indigenous folks on Twitter and some disability advocates who have really helped. I don't know that I've done as much taking in of people's work as I ultimately want to do, but definitely that has been helpful to kind of broaden my perspective. So that I did do. And I did that one quite mindfully. I did that one intentionally remembering that resolution. So for this year, I recently either saw a conversation on Twitter or read something where somebody was talking about a phenomenon that I have noticed in myself, which is we have reached a point where there is so much new content available that all I want to do is watch things I've already seen on Netflix. It's almost like it expands and expands and expands, and then it's so overwhelming that you just collapse in on yourself and watch the same season of SVU that you've already seen.
it's like when you're,
for example, speaking of trying to watch fewer Grizzly Murders.
Yeah.
I'm doing a poor job in the sense that I still do watch a lot of Law and Order.
It's like when your house is so messy that all you can do is take a nap.
Yes. Yeah, well, yes. And it's a specific phenomenon I've started to talk to people about, where people are marathoning shows they've already seen because it's hard to pick something. So I'm not necessarily trying to get rid of the marathon. I'm trying to get rid of the already been there-a-thon. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying not to lose hours and hours just binging things I know I've already seen or already seen in some cases more than once. Because you can really just turn on those Law and Order marathons or Hallmark
Nine-Nine,
movie marathons. Well, I might make an exception for Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I mean, come on, man. But within reason.
Is there a metric here? Is there, like, how can you measure?
The metric, let's see. What would I call the metric? I am going to try to watch no more than two episodes of Law and Order in a row.
That's a good one.
For all of 2020.
I like it. Solid. I like that.
Well, I'm going to make it until
January
3rd.
And that kind of fits into the 2019 one, too.
Yes, sort of. Absolutely. Yeah. So that's my resolution. Okay. We want to hear about your resolutions for 2020. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/PCHH or on Twitter at PCHH. When we come back, we're going to make our predictions for the new year, so stick around.
Did you get a smart speaker for a gift over the holidays? Well, consider it the gift that keeps on giving, right? Because it can help you keep up with the news. Just say play NPR to hear your local NPR station and all your favorite NPR shows as well.
Welcome back. Now it's time to make some pop culture predictions. Glenn, before we make our prediction, we are going to listen to last year's prediction. This is always an agonizing moment for all of us, so I'm with you.
Hubris.
All right, here is Glenn's prediction for 2019.
Captain America is going to die, you guys. There's no other way around it. In Avengers Endgame, just narratively, it's inevitable. They're going to bring everybody back, spoiler. They're going to bring all these superheroes that vanished in the Great Snapshot. And when you do that, when you hit the reset button like that, even if there's, you know, all kinds of plot mechanics in the way, it just doesn't, it's not satisfying. So there have to be sacrifices. And who in the entire Marvel Cinematic Universe is made to make a sacrifice? Steve Rogers, Captain America. In Infinity War, over and over again, he kept saying, we don't trade life for life. We don't trade life for life. But the story of Steve Rogers in the Marvel Cinematic Universe is that he's got this moral center, which is inflexible, and the universe around him rubs up against that and tries to change him. So I think he works best as an inspiration. He's kind of the Marvel Cinematic Universe's Superman. And if he does sacrifice himself while saving the universe, it will call back to his very first appearance in Captain America, the First Avenger. When we meet this character, what he does as a skinny, CGI skinny Steve Rogers is throw himself on what turns out to be a fake grenade to save the recruits around him. Mm-hmm. So Captain America is going to die, 100%, 90% chance Iron Man also buys it.
Before we give the update, I'll just say spoiler alert.
Yep.
Feel free to use your 30-second skip button, this time only, if you would like to skip past this. So, Glenn, how did it go?
The outcome of the number one movie on the planet.
Yeah, I know.
There's no getting around it. I beefed it. Totally beefed it. 100% Captain America. No. I did say 90% Iron Man, so I was halfway there. The logic that I laid out there was airtight.
It really was.
But
it's really good.
What I neglected is that Iron Man kind of started the MCU, so when he goes out, that phase of the MCU goes.
Yeah.
There's a symmetry to that. There's a bookended nature to that.
Well, and I also would say Steve did kind of make a sacrifice in the sense that he absented himself from the world for a period of time.
Right, and the way he did that was by giving himself something that he didn't get before. So the act of self-sacrifice starts his career, and an act of rewarding himself ends it. There's a symmetry there.
Yeah.
I just didn't see it coming.
Yeah.
Beefed it.
All right. Well, you took a big swing. You were bold and wrong.
Yeah.
All right, Glenn, what's your prediction?
My life story, bold and wrong.
What's your prediction for 2020?
The streaming wars will get their first major casualty.
I actually thought about making this my prediction. I didn't
Some
do it.
Some big streaming service is going to go under. Not like Acorn TV, not BritBox, but it's one of the biggies. The last time one folded was Filmstruck back in 2018, and the reason I think this is going to happen again is because the cause of that was just the way that Warner's Media restructured So, like, everything kind of went higgledy-piggledy on them. It wasn't fault of theirs. There was nothing wrong with their plan. It's just that other things impinged.
Yeah.
And we are living in a ceaseless churn of mergers and acquisitions and restructurings, and this is just going to keep happening. So all of these streaming services are going to keep running into that. And at some point this year, a big one's going to go down.
I like it. I endorse it, unless it's wrong, in which case I don't at all. All right. Thanks, Glenn. Stephen, I want to go back to your prediction for last year. Let's hear it.
I think Best Picture will be The Favorite. I think Album of the Year will be Kacey Musgraves. Because I love both that movie and that album, I have to predict for the Super Bowl, Bears over Patriots, because the universe has to balance out in terrible, terrible ways. Finally, from my lips to God's ears, I predict the collapse of Facebook.
Huh. Oh, interesting.
I'm down for that.
Coupled with the rise of a new and more idealistic social media giant, perhaps, coupled with the, kind of the cleaving of the internet into different camps, kind of the way you see the cleaving of people into different camps on cable news, I see the rise of another social media force that kind of causes Facebook to suffer some of the effects experienced by something like MySpace. You're already seeing glimmers of this where, like, you've got that one woke friend who's, like, managed to delete their Facebook page. I think you're going to see more of a push toward people just getting off of Facebook, trying to distance themselves from social media in general, but really pulling away from Facebook as any kind of a community online. I want to give some sort of quantifiable metric for that. I'm going to say that Facebook's stock, which has already dropped some this year, drops 30%. In 2019.
Wow.
This is very concrete.
That is very concrete.
You know, it's very specific, stocks, predicting some massive tectonic shift that totally did not take place.
Yep.
Well, look, in fairness to your prediction,
I am on Facebook less.
But I do think a lot of people are on Facebook a lot less.
Yeah.
I do think that is happening.
There was that shift where a lot of people were deactivating and posting about it.
Yeah. Okay. So I made four predictions. It's like a flip of the coin if you had a four-sided coin. The Kacey Musgraves did, in fact, win Album of the Year. Best Picture went to Green Book. Super Bowl was Patriots over Rams in a really boring game. And no, that did not happen with Facebook. So
no.
I'm going to try. I'm going to get back on the old horse and try it again.
Stephen, I mean, in your defense, there are a lot of other things like TikTok, which I'm obsessed with but don't quite understand, which I understand is what the youth love. So I do feel like there are other things that are starting to maybe fill some of the shoes of Facebook.
That's true.
I
think that prediction is only part wrong.
Yeah,
is it culturally shifting toward goodness? I don't know, but
decency, but TikTok, maybe.
I never should have suggested that decency would play a role in anything.
I hear you.
One can hope. Though.
All right, buddy, what's on deck for 2020?
Well, since it's tradition, I'll do Oscars, Grammys, Super Bowl. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, I think will win Best Picture. It is a love letter to old Hollywood.
Yep.
What could be a bigger slice of Oscars cat? For Album of the Year, I'm going to say Billie Eilish over Lizzo. Afterward, they team up and do a remix together because that's how things go. And for Super Bowl, I'm going to say Ravens over Seahawks. As for my other prediction, I predict... I keep going hopeful with these, and maybe that says something about my personality, that I keep being hopeful and wrong, but I predict a certain amount of knocking down of barriers to women in music, particularly in the fields of country music and hip-hop.
Hmm.
Country radio is famously dominated by what's known as bro country, a bunch of dudes with one syllable in their first and last name singing about tight-fitting clothing, and that you have all these amazing women in country who have a hard time getting played on the radio. I think some of that will ease up in 2020. My metric is an Album of the Year nomination for the singer Ashley McBride, who I've celebrated on this show before. She has a new album coming out next year. I predict it will be nominated for Album of the Year in the Grammys. And I'm going to go ahead for hip-hop. I'm going to say an Album of the Year nomination for Megan Thee Stallion.
Very nice. I like it. It's concrete. It's bold. And
it's
probably wrong. And it doesn't rely, well, it relies partly on goodness, but that could also be mercenary. So that would still count. Thank you very much, buddy. Kat Chow, it is time to turn our lonely eyes to you. What is Kat's prediction for 2019? What was it?
I predict that The Good Place, which is a TV show that I started watching accidentally because someone told me to watch This Is Us.
You traded up.
Yes, you sure I traded did. Up, I guess. I predict that for the Golden Globes, it'll get best TV show / comedy, or maybe mm-hmm, that's something mm-hmm. that I hope.
From your lips to God's ears.
Yes, fingers crossed. And I also predict that this book by the poet Ocean Vuong is going to do really well. So the book is called On Earth, We're Briefly Gorgeous. Ocean is this amazing poet where his first book of poetry, Night Sky with Exit Wounds, it just blew me away. And already the book has been getting a lot of buzz. It's a novel. It's about a young Vietnamese-American boy who kind of comes to terms with his identity. I just see it getting longlisted for a National Book Award for fiction and other things. And I feel like it's going to get a lot of acclaim. And it comes out in June of 2019.
Okay, let's start. The second one, spot on.
Yes.
Spot on.
So happy for Ocean. It was such a good book. I hope that, listeners, you have read it. The other thing that is really neat is that Ocean and I actually, I didn't mention it last year, but we went to the same high school but did not know each other, did not have, we had two years of overlap but did not know each other. So Ocean Vuong was longlisted for mm-hmm. a National Book Award yep. for fiction, which is amazing. And he also won a MacArthur Genius Grant.
That's pretty good.
I know. So I'm really happy about that.
You were
one.
Like super right.
Thank you. I don't know. I think I do feel what Stephen was saying before, which is that for these predictions, they're always so hopeful. Where I'm always like, please let the thing I love yeah. really, really do well.
And the Good Place thing didn't happen.
Yeah. No.
So what is what do you have for 2020? What's your prediction?
So this is a very specific one also. I recently started following Michelle Kwan on Instagram and have, you know, really enjoyed her posts. She does this really wonderful thing where she puts on rollerblades and goes to an empty parking lot and does her freestyle skating.
Oh, wow.
And she was also on Queer Eye as a special guest this past year. So my prediction is that next year, her lifestyle brand is just going to emerge in some way. Maybe it's a Netflix deal. Maybe it's a cooking show because she'll post a lot of stuff on Instagram. Or maybe it's just kind of becoming more of a presence again, because Michelle Kwan had a political career after her figure skating one. And I am just partially excited, but also genuinely think that maybe she will, I don't know, that she's working on something.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Things for Michelle Kwan.
Right.
Yeah, I like
President Kwan.
I like it.
There was another one, there was another prediction that I had that is much more tangible, which is Parasite by Bong Joon-ho. I think, I really actually do think that he is going to get Best Director for either Golden Globe or an Oscar.
I think that's mm-hmm. extremely, extremely plausible.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, very plausible. All right. Thank you very much, Kat. My prediction. Go ahead, Jessica. Netflix is trying to eat everybody's lunch. That's mm-hmm. the rule of Netflix. If you're out there making money, they're trying to figure out how to eat your lunch. I think the next thing for them is live sports, just because other places make a lot of money off of it. Now, Netflix has not gone to live stuff yet that I can think of, but Hulu has, and some of the other places have. And Jessica was helping me think through what would be the most likely sport for them to get into.
Highlight.
We decided soccer. They're going to get into soccer because it's a global brand, and on a global scale, you're by far best off working with soccer. So I am going to boldly predict that you will see the beginning of movement. I don't know, you know, how close they'll get, but some kind of movement this year for Netflix to get into live sports. It's a bold prediction.
It is a bold prediction.
Very bold.
But
yes.
That is what I'm going with.
But the metric is if there's even a press release, you win. So.
Not even a press release. Not even anything.
I really liked this prediction.
I liked it too.
I really thought
man.
It was going to happen.
Really, it's Jessica's fault. No, that's not true. So what I will say is there continues to be a lot of movement toward kind of getting live events off of exclusively broadcast. Mm-hmm. As I mentioned in there, Hulu has live sports and they have run a lot of very specific promos about the fact that they have live sports. There's a lot of around like ESPN Plus and all these other streaming services. There's a lot of movement, but not from Netflix, which was sort of the heart and soul of my prediction. So it was a complete and total and utter whiff. And so I'm going to try to make it easier for myself this year. Mm-hmm. It's a compact prediction. Very simple idea. Three words. Baby Yoda movie. An announcement or some kind of rumor or announcement of a Baby Yoda movie. If you have been watching The Mandalorian on Disney Plus, or even if you haven't, you have probably seen the little thing that is not a baby Yoda. It's just
not a
thing.
Yoda. Yeah.
It's a thing that looks like Yoda, but it's small. But it drinks tea, so it's not a baby. It walks around and drinks tea.
Resolved. Baby Yoda is neither a baby nor Yoda. Discuss.
Issue number one. Now, it's possible that Baby Yoda will burn very bright and then be forgotten.
It is
but
likely.
That doesn't happen in Star Wars, really. People still care about Boba Fett, man.
Sure.
That's still see those Porg dolls everywhere.
And those have both been quite a while. Just right now, there are little Porg things that you can buy that are to put on the top of a pie. That's a true fact. Baby Yoda movie. Now, it might be a Disney Plus only movie. That counts.
All right, it's a caveat. Good.
So this is going to be like Olaf's Big Adventure.
Oh, no.
It does not have to be a theatrical release in the Star Wars either thing or the big thing. Mm-hmm. Whatever. You know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. But it can be streaming still counts. So, Baby Yoda movie.
Baby Yoda movie.
All right, that's fair.
Mark it.
Love it.
All right, and that is my prediction for 2020. We want to hear, of course, your predictions for 2020. Find us on Facebook, facebook.com/PCHH. Come to us on Twitter at PCHH. That does bring us to the end of our show. You can follow Kat at Kat Chow. Thanks to all of you for being here, especially you, Kat.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And of course, thank you for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR for another year. If you have a second, please subscribe to our newsletter at npr.org/popculturenewsletter. We will see you all right back here on Friday.